Oh Lord, these boys are handsome.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.
Welcome to this week's much anticipated installment of Dynasty Football Life, featuring three fellas who undoubtedly are the most knowledgeable in regards to their own genitalia. How's it hanging, fellas?
I was not expecting that intro.
Like to come in fresh. You know?
How's it hanging? Disappointingly. Disappointingly.
Okay. Just disappointingly. Yeah.
Lower and lower every year with age, but still not low enough that I can be proud of it.
Okay. Well, speaking of saggy balls, the Eagles have signed a 7-time Pro Bowler, receiver Julio Jones, to a 1-year contract. I've picked him up in 3 leagues already, guys. I don't know where you're at here. JK, not incredibly fantasy relevant, but you never know. But he's such a legend that we felt it was appropriate to mention his name. So welcome back, Julio. Hopefully they'll throw some balls at you, either fully inflated balls or deflated balls, any type of ball they throw to you and catch it. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Eagles, who lost to the Jets. Was that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a weird
Bills
week.
Lost to Jets, too, yeah. So I can't really, you know, hang my hat on that.
I mean, they got a good defense.
49ers lost to Cleveland. Yeah. Everybody got injured.
Yeah.
Oh, the fantasy apocalypse. And then you have the bye week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're getting.
Yeah. In yeah. Some leagues where I lost like half my team, it's like, fuck, I hate fantasy. Why do I do this? Why do I do a podcast when I play?
Well, I want to do a podcast, but what I hate, I'll just do about myself.
Ty, you're helping other people, dozens of them.
Yes. That's gonna say,
and you're mostly thousands, Ty. You're mostly helping Dave.
Yes, you and he has Ty. You have helped me, and this is what keeps me coming back week in, week out. It's worth it.
You're kind of like Saul in Better Call Saul. You're like a pro bono attorney, just like getting fucked royally and making like $500 a case.
Yeah, and you're just like a downright, typically terrible person who's has a nice moment every 6 episodes. He's a good guy.
But Dave, I've got no for you. More like 3 episodes in. So far, he's a pretty nice guy.
Oh, hey. Sorry, buddy. I actually saw him watch the last season, so I should get it. Good. Wonderful. Well, let's get into some football. We're going to start off with the old panic meter.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Just to remind everyone, 1 to 10, 1 is like Snoop Dogg on a quiet Sunday afternoon, and 10 is like Jodie Foster in Panic Room. So just so you know which end you're on here. That's important to know.
I haven't seen Panic Room.
You haven't? Oh, you really should. No.
Is she relaxed?
Well, there's a panic room involved. And
did she get into the panic room?
Oh, what's his name? I always forget his name. He's a black dude. He was in Star Wars. He was in lots of stuff. Arrival.
Talk about which Star Wars?
Rogue One. He's like sort of like the bad guy.
I don't know. Oh, that was he Gus Fring?
No. No.
He was in a Star Wars. No,
we're back
he?
To Better Call Saul. I liked him.
Yeah, he was. He was. Yeah, he owned the
he's Imperial.
The chicken restaurant.
Chicken guy.
That's way most
wonderful. Well, though. It'll come to me by the end.
Wow. Cool, Dave.
Just, say it randomly.
I love when you make references go, I don't remember anything on this reference.
I give myself too much credit thinking it'll come to me within like a second and a half. And I realize shit, it's nowhere near getting close to anywhere part of my tongue at all.
Then I stare at you on Skype wondering if he's frozen or if he just forgot something again.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
The sun is down, Dave. The sun is down.
The sun is down. And I feel pretty down about James Cook. I feel a little bit panicked about him. He just doesn't get in the end zone. What's the deal with that? He gets them all away. This guy like Latavius Murray, which I did pick up in redraft because I'm that desperate. Hasn't quite paid off yet. But I've crossed my fingers. But yeah, he's played pretty well through most of the weeks. But he also doesn't really command receiving yards, like catches. So I'm guessing by not commanding, he's not asking, hey guys, throw me the ball, I'm open. Or maybe he's not open, but he's not asking for the ball enough. So you have to speak up. I don't know if he's soft-spoken. He kind of sounds like a jazz musician, you know, James Cook. personally.
I'm sorry, was there a question here?
There is a question. Are you at all concerned about James Cook with the lack of touchdown production? Are you going to panic, Ty?
Oh, panic me,
well,
I guess.
No, wait. Good news is, Dave, that took you so long to introduce. James Cook has already played again, and he's gotten a touchdown.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ty.
Go ahead.
Panic meter for James Cook. I have like a solid 5. Not really panicked.
Well, what a
fence. It's a bit disappointing, I think, that like we knew he wasn't going to be a red zone back. That's not the type of player he is.
Clearly.
But he's on pace for, what, 39 targets this year? It's not a lot, and he does lose out some work because they like Murray and pass protection. So it's a bit unfortunate. I think, you know, sitting at about an RB 24 and a half PPR right now, that's fine. You're probably expecting to finish within that range around 20. So not great, but not bad, not really hurting you. But if you look at his dynasty value, I think most people have him ranked quite a bit higher than that. So for me, not a panic, but maybe somebody consider selling a dynasty.
There you go. And he's the better of the Cooks, unfortunately.
Much, much better these days.
Jay, we got Ty coming in right in the middle, 5. Very safe number. Are you above or below? Or I guess you could.
I'm about the same.
Oh.
Dave?
Okay.
Right about the same.
I guess I can't stop you from being the same.
Sean McDermott on the 16th had a little bit of a conference there and talked about continuing to find out who we are and kind of figuring out ways to get the offense going. And I thought they would have done that in the offseason because the offense typically looks very similar to the one last year where it's super dominant 1 week and then nothing the next. And right now the issue is, I don't know if it's a Josh Allen issue, a Ken Dorsey issue, I don't know what it is. But it seems to be that Josh only wants to get the ball to Diggs, which works out a lot better when Kincaid plays because Kincaid runs a lot of distraction routes. Right now, Gabe Davis is touchdown dependent, big shot touchdown dependent, and James Cook has been electric at times. So if they can find a way to maybe, I don't know, read the tea leaves, whatever they need to do to get him the ball a bit more, whether that's on pure rushing attempts, I prefer if it's in passing downs. I think he has a lot to offer on passing work. And right now he's only projected for what, like 40 targets for this season at this point?
That's right, yeah.
The red zone doesn't concern me as much as not so much his play, but the lack of the Bills' ability to get him involved in the offense. Whether it's passing the ball to him or just, I don't mind mixing up on the running back situation. Like, he's not the guy to get you a yard. He's not the guy necessarily for the goal line carry. You have Latavius Murray and you had Damian Harris for that. Hopefully he's okay. I think it's a sprained neck. So hopefully he is okay. But I'm more concerned with the Bills' overall offense and their lack of ability to do anything outside of Steph Diggs.
Yeah. He just, like, much like my hair, he just lacks the volume. You know?
Exactly.
Which gets thinner every year. Jerry Judy, who sounds like a character out of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he's got dissed recently by Steve Smith, which I find surprising. I had Steve Smith on a pedestal. But hey, he did go Judy, that is, 3 for 14 this week against KC. It doesn't really help the narrative of him kind of sucking.
I'm sure that showed Steve Smith. I'm not just a guy. I'm going to go 3 for 14.
So where are you on the old meter Rooney with this Jerry Judy fella? Like, come on. He's not getting any younger. His time is now.
I think if I drafted him where I drafted him, and if I owned him because I drafted him where I drafted him, I'm very concerned. I'm probably an 8 at this point. Mm-hmm. He's in Denver. He doesn't look like even the best receiver there. Mims looks better in almost every stretch of the imagination. There is trade rumors abound.
Oh.
What they're going to get. The Broncos aren't going to get anywhere near what they paid for him. But he definitely needs a change of scenery. And I just don't know if he's ever going to be the guy. Like, you know, I feel like he's kind of like, you know, who was the guy the Bills drafted? Fuck.
Kincaid.
Watkins. Oh. You know, Watkins had flashes, at least, so there's times where he looked great. There's been very little time where I've seen Jerry Jeudy actually look good.
Well, there you go. There you have it. He does not look good. Ty, do you have anything to add about Jeudy, or where are you on the meter? We got Jay coming in pretty hot, pretty close to Jody Foster over there. Where are you landing?
Yeah, I think pretty similar to Jay. If we're talking redrafts, like 8, 9 dynasty, maybe a bit lower, just because you just hope for either he's traded or Courtland Sutton's traded, and
yeah,
you know, he starts to see a little more work. But yeah, 6.4 fantasy points per game and half PPR. That's not great. He didn't miss a game, so over 5 games though, he's 30 something fantasy points. It's unstartable.
And so six point four. I thought you were going to say that was your panic meter number for dynasty. You know, giving me a decimal point that I so desire.
Actually, let's use that. I like
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Good. Sounds good. This next guy, Damian Pierce, sounds like a really cool guy in a small town who's accused of murder. You know what I mean? That kind of guy. But he's not. He's a running back.
Plays... It's far less interesting, Dave, than somebody who's accused of murder.
He's sharing the old back with Devon Singletary, and Singletary outsnapped Damian Pierce 31-21 in week 6. Pierce has a 50% running back rush share, an all-time career, no, just get season low. Could be season, career low, I don't know.
He's only been in the league for a year and a couple games now, so.
So it could be career low.
It could be career.
So in terms of a meter, which is about panic, Ty, or Jay, whoever wants to pipe up first, where's this guy fall on? I'd say he's a real young fella. He's got time to develop. Give him a chance.
Yeah, for me, like 5, maybe, kind of in the middle. Like, it's not great. He hasn't been, he hasn't been very good this year. He's not really kind of working into the receiving aspect of things very much. And you know, what's it, 2.9 yards per carry? That's pretty rough.
That's like that's Melvin Gordon numbers. You don't want that.
Yeah, without the touchdowns even.
Ooh.
And I think whenever you're looking at Devin Singletary as kind of being the more effective runner, the kind of the better looking running back, it's not great. You know, that's not really something that you want to be that you want to see out of somebody that you probably invested a pretty decent pick in redraft for this season. So not that interesting. Definitely less interesting than somebody accused of murder. Unlike maybe, you know, DeAndre Swift when he was remember those internet rumors last year? As soon as the murder, I was like, who was that? I think it was last year. It was like Swift is accused of murder and something, and it turned out just all be bullshit, but.
Oh, damn. I didn't even notice that.
Oh, yeah, wow.
That was fun. A fun time, fun memory from, I think it was last summer, the one before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does live in Detroit. At some point in time, he's going to be accused of murder. Well, he did live in Detroit, I should say.
Did,
it's just it's a numbers game.
Which is a much better city than you think it is.
Really? Have you been?
Got great pizza, good food. The culture there is booming. It's not booming. It's getting better.
I think Ford's on strike. Some of the Ford workers are on strike. It's kind of Michigan related.
Kind of.
Just trying to stay current, boys, with the news. Jay, give me a number that's not 5, please. It can be 4.9.
So I'm gonna go redraft. I'm gonna go like a 7 or 8. Dynasty. I'm gonna go up. I'm gonna go 6. Because five, I'm not really worried. I'm kind of like, whatever. I'm a little bit worried. 4, I'm not worried at all. You know how it goes. I don't have to read them all out to you. But at the start, in training camp, they were kind of banging the drum of Damian Pierce is going to, he's been doing receiving work. He's going to be a receiving back now. We've seen none of that. This is an offense that throws the ball a shit ton. And if he's not going to be receiving the ball and Devin Singletary is going to be cutting into his receiving work, which was almost nil, and his snap counts at the running position, I'm not that interested anymore. Singletary's been more effective, and that is terrifying. He should not be the most effective running back in this situation. But he's still young. They didn't, I think, what is he, a third-round pick? They didn't invest a ton into him. So it wouldn't be that much for a team to walk away from him. And their passing offense has just been so electric this year that you think it would create a little more space for him to run. But it, I mean, 2.9 yards per carry says nope.
Yeah, you think with Stroud coming in and the offense actually looking good, you'd expect that he'd be a beneficiary in some ways to that. And if you have, it's pretty disappointing, I suppose, that he's not. But
he's not good buddies with CJ. If you're good friends with him, you get the ball. Maybe they start off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, maybe he needs to go on the next picnic with Tank Dell and CJ Stroud and get in.
That's
a lovely picnic.
That's not a terrible idea, Ty, at all.
Sounds like a nice little Saturday to me.
Jahan Dotson, who has the high score in Pac-Man at the local 7-Eleven.
Oh!
Remember in the offseason when we got Dotson here, will take over from Terry McLaurin? That was all over the place. That was the talk of the town, talk of the state of D.C. a state? No, it's like a district, isn't it?
It's a District of Columbia.
District of Columbia.
Yeah, and yeah, a lot
it's
of
in the fucking name, Dave.
Shut up. Certainly doesn't seem like the case that he's really taking over for your old Terry McLaurin. Where are we? Let's don't kid yourself. He's certainly not a 5 on the panic meter. No. Maybe he is. What is he?
Redraft, I'd probably put him at a 9.
Ooh.
Dynasty, there's the player that was a rookie that scored a ton of touchdowns, and there's the player that was this year. So in Dynasty, I'm still worried. I'm still worried because Curtis Samuel's outproducing him. Terry McLaurin seems to be the guy there. Antonio Gibson's getting some receiving work. Brian Robinson's been pretty good. Sam Howell looks better than I think a lot of people thought he would be. But Dotson does not seem to be the beneficiary of that. And I'm going to go, what did I get? I gave a 9 on redraft. I'm going to give a 7.623 on Dynasty.
Okay. Pretty panic. That's... look out, Jody Foster, Forrest Whitaker's in the house. That's the guy's name, Forrest Whitaker. Thank you. Tyler?
For me, redraft, probably a 10. I'm going to put him right up there. He's droppable.
Wow.
He had one target last week. 31 targets on the year over six games. That's equivalent to Curtis Samuel. And Curtis Samuel's done a lot more with his targets. Only one touchdown, but I mean the Washington receivers only have 4 touchdowns, you know. But for the group, so it's not a super high number. But yeah, it's been tough. He just doesn't seem to get a lot of looks. They're spreading the ball out around a lot in that offense, and I'm not sure what he has to do to get noticed in Washington. You know, maybe he should break into a hotel or something, you know, Watergate. Hotel would be a nice place to start.
A Watergate joke, such timely humor from Ty.
I like a timely joke.
Yeah. So, hell of a thing that was.
Pretty bad.
Well,
he's getting on the field though. Like 90% of snaps or routes run. 90% snaps on week 6, and then week 5 was 77. Problem is he's running he looks to be running cardio routes. He's the MVS cardio of the Washington Commanders. He's the we have MVS at home kind of character right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Forrest Whitaker, Dwight Yoakam, and Jared Leto were the 3 bad guys in Panic Room up against Jody Foster and a young Kristen Stewart. So, guys, you really got to watch that movie. It's fantastic. Directed by David Fincher. He did 7.
It's a Fincher film, is it?
Yeah. Wow. Yep.
I feel like people say he's a good director. I don't watch movie much.
Great cinematography in this one. Really neat stuff. Move it on along. All right. This is a quick segment. It's called Dynasty Choose 'em.
You choose me?
And you're just going to choose one or the other. I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't have to go into depth of an explanation here. Not with you two guys, anyways. Here we go. Let's get right into it. Anthony Richardson or CJ Stroud?
Anthony Richardson still.
Stroud.
Oh, I didn't think that was coming.
Yeah, just barely. I'm just kind of worried that Richardson comes back and all of a sudden they have to change up his game a little bit. There's less rushing.
Yeah,
I think it's silly to panic on Richardson even if he misses the entire season, but for me.
But Stroud's good.
I like Stroud. They're about the same for me, so.
Yeah, and he's real good in real football. I am going to go on Ty's side here. I love Stroud. How what he's doing.
I like to edit my answer.
Well,
Anthony Richardson in single QB leagues, Stroud in 2 QB leagues.
Yeah.
Because I think if you have... In a single QB league, there's so many guys in the waiver wire, and there's so many guys that are going to finish 15th overall in the waiver wire. Stroud right now is a 10-12. So, yeah, you can probably get similar production off the waiver wire, or even streaming. You could do just as good, if not better, streaming sometimes. In a single league, Anthony Richardson could win you the league if he's healthy. In a 2 QB league, I'm less likely to take that risk just because I'm only going to have 2, maybe 3 QBs if I'm lucky that are starting. If I'm a hoarder, I'll have a couple of rookies on the bench that I'm hoping might take over at some point, but I'm not taking that kind of... I've done that before in 2 QB leagues where I took some chances. Chances don't pan out as much in 2 QB. Because if he doesn't pan out and he doesn't start, then you're fucked.
So there you go. Jay will subscribe to the CJ Strouding streaming service.
In a 2 QB league, absolutely.
$9.99 a month. Jerry, for old time's sake, Juetti, or Marvin Mims. Judy's 24th ranked WR at Marvin Mims.
That's their age, sorry, 24 for Judy. Oh. Mims.
That's my first mess up of the day. It's probably not true. Judy, who's coming in at a ripe age of 24, and just a young fellow named Marvin Mims, just turned 21 6 days ago.
I'll go first for each one just so we get a flow here.
All right, let's flow it.
I'm going Marvin Mims 100%.
100% Marvin Mims. Boom. Tie.
Agreed. Yeah, we'll take Marvin Mims as well. Judy, you kind of you need a trade or you want something big to happen. Mims, at least you have the hypothetical upside, you know, like, you haven't been disappointed yet. It's you can blame the coaching, you can blame usage, so.
Yeah, 100%.
Someone needs to call Sean Payton and tell him to stop losing his notes. Games. And also, just start Marvin Mims. What are you doing, buddy?
What are you doing, buddy? Buddy. Sam LaPorta or Dalton Kincaid? Whoa.
It hurts me, Dave. It hurts me, but LaPorta.
LaPorta. Yeah. That takes a big man to say that, Jay. I respect that.
Agreed.
There we go. Think Kincaid's the more talented receiver, but situation. I just think the Lions are a perfect situation with an excellent quarterback and great supporting cast and a coach that seems to want to funnel the ball to him. So I'm taking that all day.
Absolutely. He's like a fine wine. Garrett Wilson or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I'm going Lions again on this one, I think.
You're a Lion. Yeah.
I'm going to go Amon-Ra. I think Garrett Wilson's a better receiver again. I think he's a better receiver. I don't think he's that much better, but who's going to be his quarterback moving forward?
Who's going to be his? That's a good question.
I'll take the guy who has Jared Goff. Jared Goff.
300.
The guy
Alex.
Used to call Jared Gorf.
Gorf.
That's true. You did.
He's amazing.
Very rude to mispronounce anyone's name. Tyler, where do you land on Wilson versus St. Brown debacle? It's not really a debacle, but you know.
I think I'll still take Wilson. You really can't go wrong. They're both fantastic. If you told me Amon-Ra was your third or fourth dynasty wide receiver, I wouldn't argue with that. Like if you want to put him, you know, if you want to put him kind of behind the consensus, you know, top three guys, and you know, maybe like behind AJ Brown, sure, I'll take, you know, that's fine. But sure. I'll still take Garrett Wilson. It's not a great year. 10.8 fantasy points per game for him compared to 16 for Amon-Ra. But I mean, he's still having a pretty respectable season with Zach Wilson is his quarterback. He's still on pace for 91 receptions, 1,046 yards, and 6 touchdowns. That's Garrett Wilson. Kid is good. If he gets, I guess it'll be Aaron Rodgers next year, ideally, and then we'll see what happens from there. But if they end up with a good receiver in New York, he could be one of those top two or three guys. So,
absolutely. A new episode of Wilson to Wilson. T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh, this is a tough one.
This is.
This one's built I'm going to pass on this one, Dave. Thank you.
You can't do that.
Oh, man. Okay, so I have a problem with this one. I don't know where T. Higgins is going to end up, so I'm going to have to go with Ayuk here, even though I do think T. Higgins is going to surge the last half of the season.
He is like a electricity power bar thing. He will surge. Ty?
Surge protector? It's the opposite of surging, Dave. Opposite of surging. Just like that joke was the opposite of humor.
Touche. I liked it. Thank you. Ty.
Same as Jay. I yoke for that reason.
Yeah. Okay. Especially in the situation he is in.
Do you see T with a big surge to end the year too, Ty?
You might need a surge protector there.
I'm surging right now.
All right. Calvin and Hobbs. Calvin Ridley. He's 28. Chris Godwin's 27. They're both wide receivers, and they're both written here. Which one do you choose them in Dynasty? Jay, are you going to pass?
Oh, man.
Say what you want to say. Say what you want to say.
Ridley's at the end of his contract.
Uh-huh.
That makes me a little nervous. And Christian Kirk's been the better receiver so far this year.
Yes.
But especially in full point. I'm going to go... this is a little bit of an outlier too, because Ridley's got technically 2 years off of his 28. So he's actually got a 26-year-old body. Some say 25 because he's jacked. But I'm going Ridley. I kind of want the guy who could pick where he wants to go versus Godwin, who the fuck knows who his quarterback's going to be next year. But then Evans is potentially leaving too, so.
Ooh, indeed.
I'll go Ridley. Fuck it.
All right. Good for you, Jay. Good. It takes a real man to go with Ridley. Ty, are you going to be a man?
No, I'm not. I'm going to be a boy.
Okay. Going Godwin.
I'll take Godwin. Yeah, just.
With a name like that, how could you go wrong, eh?
Just because two more years and Mike Evans is, you know.
Questionable
pretty,
all the
I think
time.
Pretty likely gone next year. Seems to be the feeling. So Godwin, I think he'll be the alpha there. So
good. Yeah. Go Ty, you're correct. You've won a prize and it'll be in the mail. Jared Goff or Daniel Jones? You gotta pick right.
Jared Goff, right, Dave. Play, and it's right. Not even close.
Straight up. Okay.
Agreed. Not even close. I put this really? In because if you look at most dynasty rankings, they're very close. A lot with Daniel Jones having Goff ahead. And I think when we discussed quarterbacks 3 weeks ago, I think I had them back to back and might have had Daniel Jones ahead. And I'm just I'm gonna post my own receipts here. I'm just saying that was stupid.
Yep. Yep.
I hope you didn't listen to me there, Dave. That was bad.
I think a lot of it was not necessarily recency bias, but last year Daniel Jones looked like he was about to break out. You know, his positive touchdown regression was kind of a lot of things some people predicted. Jared Goff was 1 year left in his contract. He's had a good career. You look at his numbers. I mean, he's actually been a very good quarterback. And this year he could be an MVP candidate.
Could be. That's crazy.
People
to
get
think
so
about.
Down on him because of the fact that he was.
Sucky.
You know, first overall pick. He was with the Rams. They went to the Super Bowl. It seemed like they were going to be part of this great kind of upcoming offense. And then it started to seem like, well, maybe they could really get there without Goff, and then they got there without Goff.
Yeah.
So I think people are like, they're kind of more down on him than they should be. He's still a good NFL quarterback.
He was like the meal that Detroit had to eat to get rid of Stafford's contract. Like, that was considered a negative contract when they traded for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
And he's been like, you know, he's mature. He's a smart player. His TD to INT ratio is fucking insane. Like that Lions team, again, not my favorite team, but my second favorite team.
Your second favorite team.
Yeah, exactly. I've always kind of been a bit of a Lions fan, especially with Megatron. But this is, I mean, they're fucking exciting, man.
Yeah. Quarterbacks outscoring Goff in points per game this year. Herbert, Allen, Hurts, Tua, Mahomes.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks with most 20-plus yard completions this season, 29 for Goff. Then all the way down, 25 for Tua and Stroud, 24 for Stafford, 23 for Cousins.
Like, wow. Impressive. Yeah. I mean, I'm impressed. I was pretty down on Goff because he just obviously disappointed me in the Super Bowl and thought maybe he's just not going to be the quarterback. But I think he has matured and settled into a really nice. He's got some confidence now. I think he's in a really good spot, and I'm incredibly happy for him. And I wish I still owned him, but I gave him away too early. Oh. All right, moving on up. Now we're going to talk about something called Fantasy Mainstays, or is it just fantasy? I think that's a Queen song. It is, right? Okay.
Oh, that's a it's,
yeah. There you go, Bohemian Rhapsody. That's what we're going to do right now. Take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rockin' world go round. Hey! I was just a skinny lad. I'm not sure if you had something for that, but...
Oh, I'll have something for it. Don't worry.
Did we play Bohemian Rhapsody? Did we clear that? I'm sure we have the budget to be able
to. Oh, no. We're on Spotify. We can play it if we want to.
Oh, sweet.
We can play if we want to. All right. Let's take a look at some WR1s and 2s after 6 weeks and decide if they can keep up this production or was it all just a fantasy? Quite a few of these players are achieving where they were expected tier-wise, so we will just... kind of concentrate on the outliers, if you will. If that's okay with you, fellas.
It's okay with me, Dave.
I assume so, because you guys wrote this. Right. Adam Thielen, WR3 currently. Is that correct?
In PPR, it 100% is.
Okay, this is a PPR.
This is all in PPR.
Good to know.
Just in case we don't mention it again, this is PPR rankings because I like PPR. And I made this. Half PPR is great too. I don't like standard scoring. I think it's stupid.
I'm a half PPR guy, but Jay, you're very progressive. And
well, I'm full on PPR, Dave.
But question is, can old man Thielen sustain this pace? That's really the loaded question. And I don't have an answer for you.
Well, we're going to discuss. So the whole point of this, we're going to discuss dynasty and redraft. And just, you know, if they can sustain his pace for redraft, very important. And does he have any dynasty value next year?
No.
And I think the answer is yes. And on a contending team, yes.
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
Double yes.
I don't think he has that much value, but after this year, am I going to just trade him away for nothing? No, because he probably cost you nothing to get him, or you've owned him for 8 years.
Yeah, yeah. No,
well, if you look at his season, he is the safety net there. His entire season, he's had what? One game where he was under 10 points? Like he has an 85% catch rate. You know, he's 11 for 13 targets, 11 and 13 targets, 7 on 8, 11 on 14, 7 on 9, 2 on 2. Take out that one game. And
he is under 2.
Yeah, his fantasy points per game are fucking incredible. Like he had 3.2 points in week 1. He's averaging 21.1. Like
that's not going to the
type of receiver he is. He's not a speed guy. He's not a big guy. He's not a Julio. He's not AJ Green. He's not going to fall off a cliff. The cliff he already fell off of was last year, and he climbed back up because he's a crazy motherfucker. So yeah,
good for him.
If I'm on a contending team, I have him this year. I'm stoked if he stays healthy, and if I have a contending team for next year, I'm happy he's on my team.
He has won me leagues before, but win people leagues again. Not me, but somebody else. Ty, would you agree? Are you a double yes?
I think mostly. It's kind of funny. We're talking about like, can he sustain his pace? Like, I'm not even sure he can drive at night anymore. I think like he's gonna have to miss some games as his kids take him to the doctors. Like he's an old man, but it's impressive what he's doing. And I also think it's hilarious. We start the show off with, you know, talking about Julio Jones signing. And now we're talking about Adam Thielen, wide receiver 3. And I think, what fucking year is it?
That's a good point.
No, most I think pretty much all the points Jay made, I would agree with. And I would say another thing to add on, though, is what I love about Adam Thielen in Dynasty is if he's on a team that is not contending, that he should be pretty easy to trade for. Nobody sitting in the bottom third of the league is thinking, well, let's keep him for next year. Let's see their kind of thing. Let's see what kind of asset we can get from him for this guy. And they're probably not even looking for necessarily a first. I'd maybe see maybe a second round pick, maybe just offer them like a young, you know, young player that you have on your roster that hasn't really broken out yet. That's a rookie or something. So I think he's someone that you can make a trade for.
Jahan Dotson.
Ooh. I don't think I'd trade Dotson for him. If I was for sure going to be a championship team, I might do it. But man, that'd be a tough one.
If I'm first place and I'm undefeated this year, but I really need some wide receiver depth, then I'd probably give too much.
I'd give Rashad Bateman, no problem.
Oh, yes.
Oh, of course you would. You've hated him since day one.
That could get that done. Rashad Bateman and a third or something? Like that might get that done or a fourth.
Maybe. Yeah, probably add a pick in there or maybe Miller or something.
I know you're rebuilding.
That's a yes or a trade.
That's right.
If your team, if he's on your roster and you're a bottom feeding team, he's only hurting you. He's only taking you away from that first overall pick.
Exactly. It's like, hey, Spaghetti Dick, I know you're rebuilding. I like to say Spaghetti Dick now because I like to assert dominance.
I like to say, hey, Bozo.
Hey, Bozo. Listen Bozo, here, Jabroni.
Hey, Jabroni.
this guy's WR6, this next gentleman on the list. Puka Nacua.
Puka.
Was it Puka? Baba Nacua. No, Puka Nacua. Yeah, guys, he's got one bad week in the books. He had an uncharacteristically bad drop in the end zone in week 6. Is this the beginning of a slow decline to the fantasy? This fantastic rookie as Cup, spelled with a C, looks to be at 100%. No respect, Ty. For these guys, I may say
that was me.
But you spelled.
I love how
wrong.
You correct all of our like. I do half of this while I'm working on my phone, like under my desk, and I'm still getting, like, we still get shit on for our spelling.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, I respect it. Names. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that you catch those, but don't catch the 19 errors you make an episode.
Well, you know, 19. Oh, you're reading.
Your hand, Dachshund, will.
So, yes. Anyways, don't avoid the question here. Nakua, is he just fantasy, or is he a fantasy mainstay?
I'll start on this one.
Please.
Mainstay. Absolute mainstay. Mm-hmm. I know with Cooper Kupp coming back this week, Kupp obviously took over that, you know, that top dog spot, and Kupp looked awesome.
It's his spot. It's his
and
spot.
And that makes sense. Kupp's one of the best receivers in the NFL.
In the bar world. None.
But Puka still looked, what he's done as a rookie is incredible. There's still a role there. Even if it's, you know, the targets are obviously going to, you know, kind of fluctuate a bit more now. He's someone that has a ton of dynasty value still. If you just look at just any rookie that has done that, has to. And for the rest of the season, yeah, he's still going to be in your lineup every week. He's probably more of a wide receiver two now. He's not going to finish as the wide receiver six overall. But I think as long as you have the realistic expectation of him as, you know, top 15.
I was just going to say top 15, Ty, I swear to God, I was thinking it.
Well, hey, then if that's the expectation you have and that's startable every week on any team, then yeah, you're happy with that. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a mainstay. I'm assuming Jay, you agree.
No, man, he's done. He's cooked. I'll give you a fifth for him. No, absolutely a fantasy mainstay. And I had to put him in here because we were looking at him at the start of the season, and there was a lot of people that were really high on him saying, this is a guy you should be buying. I wasn't one of them, unfortunately, because I'm dumb. But Tutu Atwell has been the guy who's lost out since Cooper Kupp's returned. 5 for 2 receptions and 1 target, 1 reception. It was a good one, 30 yards. But
it's a beauty.
Yeah.
Loved it.
But he's the one that's lost out here. I'm hoping that we see a little more shitty games from Puka Nacua so I can go and finally buy him when I should have bought him months ago. But yeah, he's a fantasy mainstay and a perennial, probably wide receiver too.
I love perennials.
I think now is kind of like trying to buy like real estate as a millennial. Like, you know, you're just,
yeah,
it's the market's just, it's just going to fuck you no matter what.
It's going to fuck you. Speaking of getting fucked, DJ Moore fucked me last week. Not this week that just passed, but the week before. Really hard. It really hurt. But now he's got no Justin Fields. Well, doesn't help me now. We don't know how long Justin is out for, but week 6 was a little bit weak. He had been trending up, but he had that huge game, like 49 points or something like that in week 5. Do we see a slow slip with a DJ Moore field without a field? Well, he's on a field. He doesn't have fields. Tyson Bagent.
What's his
French
name?
The quarterback? French
Badger, I believe.
Badger? Tyken Badger is the is the quarterback there right now. Fields had an MRI. He had dislocated his finger, which might require surgery. If that happens, I don't know how it's going to impact him for redraft this year. We do know that he is a fantastic receiver and that 49 points in week 5 wins weeks. I just don't think he has any more week winners this year with, you know, of that caliber. I think that was kind of an outlier. But stranger things have happened, and it all depends on what you believe in Fields. Like, how long are they going to shut him down for? You know, what's Badgett going to look like? I think he's more of a, are you worried in redraft? Yes. Am I worried in dynasty? Not so much, because Caleb Williams is going to look fantastic there next year.
Does a CFL quarterback get any special treatment if he hurts his finger and he has to go to our hospital? Does he get ahead of the line?
Free healthcare.
Yeah.
The teams have doctors and stuff. The Toronto Maple Leafs don't go and wait at at a Toronto area hospital when they get hurt.
Well, lucky them. For 4 hours.
They'll be out for the season if that was the case.
Yeah. So for the season, he's waiting in the waiting room.
Ty, sorry, did you talk about DJ Moore, or do you have something to say? Do you have something to say? Say it now.
No. Jay, you know what? Jay nails it.
Got it.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, this is, I never thought we'd talk about Nico Collins at WR11.
I got something to say here, Dave, just when you're ready.
Well, you know, he's a surprise, a delight, if you will. He's had a massive week four, 36.8 in PPR. Followed that up with a nice 6.9 and 12. So that's being sarcastic, I see, in this writing. Last 2 weeks are down, his targets. Ty, tell me what you think. What's on your chest other than some hair? Maybe. I don't know.
Probably some pizza drippings.
Definitely some hair. Some pizza drippings. Yeah, that's fair. I can see why you'd say that. Cheers. Hurts a little, but I get it. Nico Collins, I think he maintains in both. I think in redraft he's a little bit volatile, as we've seen this year. I think it was weeks 2 and 4 that he had those really big weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The 27 and 35. Sorry, Dave, if you already said that, I wasn't really listening.
I said one of them. I didn't say the other one.
Okay, so. Perfect.
There we go.
And as far as dynasty goes, like I find myself, you know, starting to kind of like enjoy this Texans offense and kind of believe in it. Yeah. I think there's some value to Nico Collins. You guys know that I love CJ Stroud.
Yeah, you made that clear.
Yeah, you know, Tank. I like Tank.
Well, you would have to. If you like CJ, you like Tank. That's all your only option.
Nico could fit Tank in his pocket, though. Nico's huge.
He is huge.
That's true. And I like that. I like seeing, you know, the giant next to the little person. It makes me smile.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's for that reason and that reason alone.
I think there's a TV show or a movie. There's a tall guy and a little person.
Yeah, twins.
There it is. Yeah, Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Wonderful. Jay.
With Collins, I do think that there's value year after year. I think he's someone that can act as a bit of a target hog, as someone that you can check down to, but can also be, you know, kind of thrown to big plays. So I think that'll play, and I think that'll continue to play with CJ Stroud as he develops.
Well articulated.
So one thing I kind of wanted to do with this segment was, right now he's a wide receiver 11. Where do you see him finishing, and do you see him as a perennial potential back end wide receiver 1, top end wide receiver 2?
Okay, sorry, I forgot to do that DJ Moore too. I actually didn't want to comment on that, so I'll do both of them now if that works. So
please.
But DJ Moore, you got him as a wide receiver 8, with Justin Fields being out, and who knows when he's coming back. I think top 12 wide receivers, it's not really in the realm of possibilities for me. I think it puts him more as a
15,
maybe a back end wide receiver 2 for the rest of the season. So if you combine the massive weeks he's already had, maybe like a wide receiver 16 sort of thing to finish the season. 15, mm-hmm. 16, probably below Puka. I said I'd take Puka at 15 for the rest of the year. I'd probably have DJ Moore below that.
Yeah, you did
so
say
I think,
that.
I'm going to stick with that. And with Nico Collins, I probably put Nico in a similar sort of range, top 20. If he finished wide receiver 11, I'd be a little surprised.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was kind of my whole point with these three guys is there are three guys that are wide receiver ones currently, and I don't really see any of them staying in that wide receiver one end of the season. Puka had that special connection with Matt Stafford. Very
still
special,
does.
I heard.
He still does.
I know, but Bay's back now, so you know you're going to see a bit of a slide, and it's not going to be a bad thing. DJ Moore, that 49 points, take that out. He's not wide receiver 8. Give him a 20-point week, he's not wide receiver 8 anymore either. So it depends on if those ever happen again. Nico Collins, like Ty said, I see perennial back-end wide receiver 1, top-end wide receiver 2, potentially from him if he's the guy with CJ Stroud.
If I were to tell you Jacoby Myers was currently WR15, would you tell me that he will be forever a WR15? Well, not forever, but till the end of the season. Or would you say, Dave, you're crazy? He'll be lucky to hit the top 20. Him and Adams are making quite the duo there. But Garoppolo, I think, is injured. I don't know the extent of it. But do you actually think he could overtake Adams? I don't think that's possible, but who am I? I'm a guy who's first place in 3 leagues. That's who I am.
Yeah, 3 leagues with our friends.
Yeah, that's true. They mostly
that
suck.
That doesn't count. Sanjay's in that league. Phil hasn't won yet.
Phil's won two championships, though.
I know this year, though. I'm talking this year.
Yeah, he's incredibly shitty this year.
Christmas miracle's not coming this year.
No. That's when you start name. T. Higgins, he's not playing. He got problems. Yeah. Jacoby.
Oh, man. Did anyone have Jacoby Myers, wide receiver 2, on their fantasy bingo this year?
No. He's not even on my radar.
No.
Nope. I think Bill probably let him go for the wrong reason. Do I think he can overtake Adams this year? Yes, I do.
Whoa.
I do. He's looked great. If you look at his targets over the season, Jacoby Myers, 30 catches, 335 yards. That's not too bad. But target-wise, he's getting 7, 10, 4, 12, and 10 over the season. Devontae Adams was hyper-targeted for about 2 games there. Last 2 games, he's had 5 and 4 targets. He had 13 and 20 the previous games before that, 8 and 9. So I think it's more in the realm of possibility than it ever has been. It's not a talent thing necessarily, but I feel like Jacoby Myers is a pretty reliable guy for whoever ends up being the quarterback there. We don't know what's going to happen with Garoppolo's injury, with his back.
Also injured, yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be incredibly surprised, because Jacoby Myers has missed 1 game. So his fantasy points per game are actually pretty close to Devontae Adams. I wouldn't be surprised if it's closer than it should be.
I think it's a bit of a warm take saying Myers will take
that's
over.
Spicy,
Adams.
Dave. That is downright spicy. That's so spicy. I don't think Adam Thielen can eat it anymore. He'd have an upset stomach for days.
Yeah. You find salt spicy.
My dad does, actually.
I don't think he's better than Devontae Adams, but I think there's a place this year that he could potentially outplay him.
No, you said he's better. Ty?
I don't know if I'd say he's better, like Jake so clearly did.
Clearly.
Verbatim.
Hey.
Word for word.
Hey, fuck you both.
All right.
If you're saying is it possible that he could be the better fantasy producer than Devontae Adams, I would say in half PPR right now, Myers is averaging 14.5 fantasy points per game, whereas Adams is averaging 14.1. So is it possible? Yeah, like he's doing it now. Do I see it? Well. No, probably not. I think, I like Myers. I had him last week. We did Dynasty Buy Sell. I put him as one of my favorite buy targets. But for me, he's probably like, do I see him as a wide receiver 15 at the end of the year? No. Probably more in the 20 range, because I think Devontae Adams jumps into more like the, wide receiver 5-6. But is it crazy what Jake said is a possibility? Not at all, no. I mean, he's already doing it. He's already outproducing him, so for fantasy. And especially in a full PPR, if you're someone that takes, short targets, Jimmy Garoppolo loves those short targets, so.
I just don't think he can see that far downfield.
No, maybe not.
Perhaps not. Well, Jay loves Jacoby Myers as much as he loves full PPR. Big fan.
I will say it's funny though when you think Jacoby Myers, when the Patriots let him go, brought in Juju Smith-Schuster. As much as I've always loved Juju, what a silly idea.
Yeah, it's a dumpster fire there. Captain Christian Kirk is in a situation that's not as bad as New England, but nothing is as bad as New England. There were some preseason chatters said he stood to lose with the arrival of no one to hold him, Ridley. people were selling him, and I doubt he was sold at WR16 value. I'm not sure how much Ridley sold him for. Can he sustain this production and finish above Ridley, who is currently WR25?
I'm going to say yes.
You would.
I really am. The problem here is again with Trevor Lawrence. Like, do we know what his interest as of right now? Do we know what his interest status is?
Oh, that's true. No.
Doesn't look like it's going to be too bad. But they play Thursday this week, so you might miss the game. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, without Trevor Lawrence, the slot guy is probably going to feast a little more than the deep threat guy. Bad quarterbacks tend to not look downfield as much.
Whoa!
It might be a good week for. It might be a great week for Etienne if. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't play.
That guy, he kills me every week. I'm always, in one league or another, I'm playing against him because I don't own him in anything, and he destroys me every week. Etienne.
Oh, Etienne. Yeah, he's been fucking awesome this year.
But yeah, I love him. He dropped because everybody thought Tank Bigsby was taking the job. So. We get silly in the offseason sometimes, don't we?
Christian Kirk sure got a lot of slander thrown towards him this year, though.
He was fantastic
last year, and very few people were high on him after Ridley.
I've been very hesitant on him. I've owned him for short periods of time. I can never have a spot to keep him. I just find other guys I'd rather have, and I feel bad about it. I kind of do now.
So here, Paul, is he a wide receiver too by the end of the year? Top 24.
Yes.
Yes.
In PPR, yes.
You think Ridley could be a top wide receiver two in PPR?
Two Jacksonville Jaguars in the top 24, is that what you're saying? I guess that makes sense.
I mean, they both have the ability to do so. Ridley is a bit more boom-bust, but I don't...
He's a boom bust guy. Either he goes over 21 or he's under 21.
He's always hitting on close 21.
Now
that's a blackjack joke. Okay,
I think they both can. Thanks for clarifying that, Jave. I know what 21 is. Our brother Tanner though does not.
Oh,
Ty,
that is true. He did hit on 21 when we were in Vegas one time. We were very drunk. It was like 4 a.m.
I love the story.
But yeah, Tanner hit on 21. This guy was from Detroit. Was playing beside us, and he just looks over. He's like, "Buddy, you're killing me. You're showing 21 right now." Tanner's just like, "Oh wow, that's fine."
So, I think Trevor Lawrence has not been at his best to start the season. Christian Kirk is wide receiver 16. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver 25. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to finish the season worse than he started. I feel like they're due for a bit of an upswing. So I see them both finishing as wide receiver, top 24 wide receivers in PPR.
Okay, wonderful. Love it. And Kirk got a little bit ahead of Ridley, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think just that. I think he's very him and Lawrence have a rapport, obviously.
A kinship,
and I do love. I always say follow the targets.
Follow
the targets, buddy.
He's a very wise man. A very wise man once said, "I think Christian Kirk's becoming a bit of like a Tyler Lockett figure, where he's constantly disrespected." Wasn't that me a couple weeks ago?
That was you. That was Ty.
It was you.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
It was you. Or like Boyd, oil can Boyd, or not? That's a different Boyd.
Old painty can Ned.
Old painty can Ned. Neddy paint cans.
Jay, you're gonna love this because you are in love with this guy, perhaps, or at least you have strong feelings towards him. Zay Flowers is currently at WR22. He has an insanely crazy safe floor in PPR. His worst week was 8 points in week 4. He has an average of 13. The question is he locked in for WR2 on the season? He's right on the cusp at 22. So,
I put this in here for a reason.
Because you love Zay.
Because I love Zay Flowers. I think he's going to improve on that wide receiver 22.
Oh, crack the top 20?
Yeah, I think Lamar Jackson is due for a little positive regression when it comes to passing touchdowns this season.
Touchdowns for sure,
And Zay Flowers is, I think, locked and loaded as a potential end zone threat. He's taken a bit away from Mark Andrews, and OBJ isn't... He's a better marketing brand than a football player at this point now.
It's really true.
Like he still has that name that people, you know, kind of, it's synonymous with crazy catches, but I don't know. Zay Flowers, I think Mark Andrews is going to have a better end of the season than he did a start. The first third of the season have not been kind to him. I just love Zay Flowers. He's got a crazy safe floor. I think he's a lock for wide receiver 2.
Exactly what I said. Jay-Z got a crazy, like, let's look like the floor in the crazy kitchen. If you've ever been to
it's a bubble wrap floor, it's so fucking safe.
Now, Ty, I know you're a bit of a Zay Flowers, I don't know how to say this, hater. I know you're not a big fan. You've been down on him.
You shut your whore mouth. I love Zay Flowers.
Okay. I must have been thinking of something.
Get me a whole bouquet of Zay Flowers if I could.
Wonderful. So I guess that you probably agree he's gonna do a little bit better too. WR22, top 15, maybe even. Is that kind of too bold? Top 15.
I could see it. I probably project him to finish the season probably pretty close to where he is. But I think you definitely could be looking at some positive, it's a positive uptake in touchdowns. He only has one receiving touchdown so far this year. Only other touchdown on the Ravens for the wide receivers right now is Aguilar. But the floor is what keeps him as a wide receiver too. 48 targets so far this year in 6 games. So that'd be 8 a game. Math.
Very good.
The second highest wide receiver for Baltimore is Nelson Aguilar, 20. Odell's got 15 and 4. Rashad Bateman's got 15 and 5. Devin Duvernay's got a whopping 7 targets in 6 games. Yeah. So there's not a lot of a threat there from anyone outside of Mark Andrews, really, at the tight end position. So for the wide receivers, he's definitely got a safe floor. The touchdown ceiling, we should see more than it should go up from the 1, but I don't know it'll ever be super high. He's one of those small, kind of fast receivers, which don't necessarily work as red zone threats necessarily, but should still be an increase there. So I think very safe wide receiver 2 floor for this year, dynasty wise. You got to have them, pretty high in your dynasty rankings.
I'm almost sorry I asked.
Ty, I have a question for you. Known.
Oh yeah,
you have Zay Flowers. Would you trade him for JSN still?
I don't like that question, Jay.
I know, that's why I asked it. It's a good one.
Yes, I will.
I want to say I'd still take JSN. Because it seems too early to kind of give up on JSN, and I like the talent. So I'll say that, but they're really close now.
All right, we'll keep tabs on that question. We'll ask
your fellow's opinions on this too. I'm not the only one that has to be uncomfortable here.
I don't have enough.
I can answer if you like.
Answer.
No.
Sure.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
Why is it spicy?
I would have at the start of the season, absolutely. But I think again, safe floor. Like Zay Flowers could be your wide receiver 2, potentially even your wide receiver 1, but likely your wide receiver 2 or 3 for the next 10 years. JSN is still a gamble. There's been a lot of really flashy wide receivers from college. I still love his tape. I still love everything he did in college, but there's been a ton of flashy wide receivers in college that didn't do anything in their rookie year and then never did anything after that. There's also been a bunch that did nothing in their rookie year and then fucking broke out. But right now I'm taking the guy who's not that far off talent-wise. They didn't have that far off of a rank between the two of them going into the season. I didn't like Zay Flowers' landing spot. To me, that was the one nail in the coffin was, I like JSN better now, particularly because Flowers went to Baltimore. I wasn't super stoked on the landing spot, but he's shown that it works great. And I'm going to keep Flowers. I'm not going to necessarily look. If I have JSN, I'm not going to go look to buy Flowers necessarily, but I'm not moving him.
I think you're letting that mudslide that you had on your vacation affect you, and you really want a safe floor.
It was the lava, Dave, and it was mushrooms. The floor was lava.
I feel like Jay made me look like a bit of a cuck here. Like I wasn't brave enough to just say that I would prefer to take safe flowers, and Jay did it. So
if I could interject here, you made yourself look cuck-like with your indecision.
I'm just going to take off my nipple clamps and respond to you in just a second.
You still the car battery?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have a question for you now, Jay.
Yep. Okay. Go for it.
Here we go.
Zay Flowers or Puka Nacua? I was going to say Justin Jefferson just to really kind of. But no, Puka Nacua, I think that's a.
I think I'm still going to go Puka Nacua. It's hard. I if I had Zay Flowers, I wouldn't necessarily go looking to trade for Puka Nacua. But I feel like where Zay Flowers will be by the end of the year will be a lot closer to Puka Nacua than it started off at. That would be my main answer. I wouldn't go looking to trade for him, but if someone offered me Puka for Flowers, I'd have to probably take it.
Fair.
Okay.
I like that.
Now, I know you guys are just trying to avoid talking about Gabe Davis, but I'm sorry. We can't do it any longer. We got to talk about him.
I put it in the WR doc, Dave. I wanted to talk about him, you lying bastard.
I don't know.
Why do you make the...
Can Gabe stay at WR2 in 2023?
Right now, he's wide receiver 23.
Correct.
So he's barely a wide receiver 2.
Barely. He's just on the cusp. All the three of these guys are on the cusp. What do you think about that, Gabe Davis? Talk to me.
I can go first on this one.
Please.
I'm going to say yes, but I think for the only reason being is it was one of the first episodes we did. I think it was week 2 of the season. We did a Believe It or Not segment, And one of the questions was, Gabe Davis finishes as a top 24 wide receiver. And my projection was, is that he finishes wide receiver 24. So I said yes. So I'm just going to stick with that.
Which stand is by your man.
Probably not the best reason to make a decision on like that. But I mean, he's trending that way right now anyway. And unless the Bills add another wide receiver, which it's not out of the realm of possibilities. They could probably use one. But if they don't, I think the touchdowns and the big plays, it keeps Davis in that conversation as long as he doesn't get injured and so a couple of players ahead of him potentially do. Then I think yeah, that's where it could be.
Let's hope Diggs goes down with an injury.
No.
That's what I thought you were saying there.
As someone that has Josh Allen in several dynasty leagues and as a Bills fan myself, no.
You don't want that. But Jay does. Just kidding. No, he doesn't.
I traded Gabe Davis to start of the season. I traded him to another guy in a league that is a tie. What is that? A 14 or 15 team league? It's a big league. 14 team league?
Is that the tight end league? The two tight end league?
Yeah, 14 team league.
It's a 14 team, two tight end league.
Yeah, I traded. I had a package deal. I don't remember the full details, but Gabe Davis was involved and I got Jameson Williams back. I was pretty high on Jameson Williams and I don't think Gabe Davis is up to a contract year. I don't think he stays in Buffalo.
No.
I don't love him on many other teams. I love watching Gabe Davis when he catches touchdowns. I don't like watching him when he drops the ball or runs a bad route. I don't think he's a great football player. I think he's a big body that's pretty quick, that has found a lot of success catching touchdowns. If he doesn't catch a touchdown, he's going to hurt you a bit in fantasy. Again, the floor and targets. Right now, Josh Allen isn't really throwing to Gabe Davis. Why? Is he not open? Does he not trust him to necessarily catch the ball? The Bills have spoke about spreading the ball around. If you think James Cook or Dalton Kincaid is going to increase their fantasy production for the remainder of the season, it's going to come at potentially maybe some Gabe Davis regression. So I don't believe he stays a wide receiver two in 2023. And I'm terrified of what Jameson Williams is actually going to be. But I don't think that trade necessarily is going to come bite me in the ass.
Well, I'm terrified regardless, but that's for different reasons. All right. I agree. I guarantee Gabe Davis is a Chicago Bear next year. Mark my words.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, with Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, yeah. That could be a hell of a Bears lineup.
They did pay Trey Edmonds all that money.
Curtis Samuel, no relation to Debo. Just kidding. They're cousins. Just kidding again. WR24. So he's literally on the cusp. And has produced well over the last 3 weeks with games of 18 points, 18 points, and 14 points. Dotson owners worried about his usage? ?
Yeah, we're worried. We talked about Dotson earlier. Very worried for Dotson this year.
Should be.
But I think to answer the question of like, do I see Curtis Samuel maintaining his pace for this season and finishing as a, potentially a wide receiver two or even a relevant wide receiver three kind of flex play? Personally, no. I think if you look at his stats so far this year, it's 31 targets, which is actually equivalent to Jahan Dotson, but he's got 27 receptions. That's a really good receiving rate. A couple of touchdowns. With a couple of long passes, he's been pretty good. But I have a hard time really trusting any of the wide receivers in that offense. And even Terry McLaurin, who's definitely the best wide receiver in that offense, is still, has some kind of hit or miss weeks. So I don't imagine Samuel, maintains the pace he's on now. I also think, as much as I said earlier, Jahan Dotson, you can drop him in a redraft. He's not finishing the year with one touchdown. This is an extremely talented rookie.
You don't know that. You don't know that, Ty.
No, that's true.
I don't know any of these things.
I have an inkling that he might not.
You might be right.
Dave just found our Dark Star butthole, or whatever it's called there from Star Wars, where they had the plans and how they could blow up the Death Star. Dave just found it. We don't know. We really don't know anything, and I think Ty is probably correct on this one.
Talk about Rogue One with Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, whatever. One of those. Okay. I like Curtis Samuel. I liked him in Carolina. If I can recall correctly, he was a running back in college, was he not?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he did play some hybrid, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that being a...
Or he has run. He always intrigued me. I like him as a nice wide receiver three flex. I think Sam Howell, if you remove the Bills game, we'll talk about this a bit later. If you remove the Bills game, Sam Howell has had a pretty fucking good year for what is essentially his rookie season. Not considering a cup of tea last year, notwithstanding. But I like him as a wide receiver three. I don't think he stays a wide receiver two in this offense. No, I think they're due for a couple bad stinkers.
Cup of tea, Higgins.
Well, do you think he finishes ahead of Dotson rest of the season? Not anything to do at the start of the season. Last two thirds.
Like, we're not counting the first six games?
They both start at zero. Does he finish ahead of Dotson?
No.
So the Dotson can't be droppable in redraft?
No, I think they're both just end up being droppable.
Okay, you think they're both irrelevant? Okay. Got it.
Look what he tried to do, Ty. He tried to get it cornered there, eh? What a rapscallion. Cool. Kurt Samuel kind of sucks. I don't like him. Let's move on from the guys that catch the ball and focus on the fellows that get them the ball. That's right. The offensive coordinators.
Our favorite topic.
I like Matt Canada.
Matt. Allen and the Bills have been Jekyll and Hyde. Hurts hasn't played well, but his tush has been pushed with success. Ooh. Tua has been good, but his RBs are outscoring him handily. And Mahomes called Aaron Rodgers and asked him what to do when your organization seems to think your WRs aren't necessary. Will this be the top four to end? Will this be the top four to end the season? These are the top, these quarterbacks. We have now Jared Goff, which we touched on earlier. He's QB5. Is that correct now? That's amazing. I still can't get over that. He's QB5, now has 17 career games with at least 350 passing yards, which is tied with former Pro Bowl passer. I got all excited that it was like Andrew Luck. Never mind.
He was amazing.
He was good, though. Yeah, I know. He was okay.
They ever got him in O-line, he wins a Super Bowl.
That is true. He's tied with him for most over players' first eight career NFL seasons. So good for him. That mark trails only Pro Bowl Hall of Famer Dan Marino. Well, we haven't spoke about him once in our podcast. Finally, Dan Marino gets some talk time here. And former Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, who is not yet retired, but soon. Plus two-time MVP and Super Bowl champion Patrick Mahomes. He's Mahomes. Mahomes.
Okay. So I should have put a break between because there was a question there and then you just kept going, but you seem to really enjoy yourself. So I thought I'm going to let him run with this. The first question was, are the top four going to be the top four to end the year? Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
I
think I made that.
The next question should be, clear. Is Jared Goff going to sneak his way in there?
I mean, I'm amazed he's number five. I don't want to push my luck and say he's going to be above that, but he's only an injury away from actually doing that. And there's a couple guys in that list that have been known to go down with an injury here and there. So certainly a possibility, but that's not for me to decide. It's up to Tyler.
Okay, I get to decide.
You get to decide.
All right.
You get to decide if Goff gets to be in the top four. He doesn't even get to decide.
I think it's kind of funny when you look at the top four now of Allen, Hurts, Tua, and Mahomes and think, it's like, will that be the top four to finish the year? Most of the times, week six of a season, you're looking at top four quarterbacks, be like, no, hell no. Like, things are massively going to change. Like, it's usually like, you'll see like, you know, last year, I think like Geno Smith was in there for the first like several weeks and like, but looking at the top four now, I think, what's the top four at the end of the year? Be like, Allen, Hurts, Tua, and Mahomes? Be like, yeah, probably. That sounds about right. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Goff at five. I love Goff. I think he's been pretty underappreciated, but Herbert. I think Lamar Jackson finishes ahead of him. I think maybe a top eight is kind of Goff's
top
and
eight.
Get a top eight, and you're going to be damn happy about it because what you invested in him. That's fantastic.
If you're ninth, you're miserable.
That will be the top four, I think, barring injury, the top four to end the season. The
Tua's a little surprising. Tua's the only guy that sort of kind of, but at the same time, it's not surprising. It is, but it isn't.
Offense is
electric.
If
you only looked at, if you looked at the scoreboards for every game and just looked at the score and you went, Tua's fourth or third, you'd be like, no, he should be first. Like, they've blown out so many teams, but a lot of it's been with the running game. Tua hasn't really, Tua's highest scoring game this season is what, 28.4 points? That's a lot, but that's not world beating, you know? His running backs have scored significantly more than that.
When you have Achan and Mostert putting up 40 and 50 point weeks, then
he's only 5 points ahead of Mahomes and only 7 points ahead of Goff on the season, which is crazy. But Goff, I think I'm with Ty on that one. I think Herbert and Jackson might eclipse him a little bit. If Anthony Richardson plays maybe 8 games this year, he might finish first. But other than that, I think that's about right.
Now, Justin Fields, currently QB9, is sitting in the room at Chicago Memorial as we speak. We're waiting to find out. Just kidding. He has dislocated his finger. We don't really have any details beyond that, other than it kind of hurts. It hurts. It's painful. But how many games left does Fields have to prove himself? Caleb will be QB in Chicago by many estimations. The injury will bump him out of QB1. Now, is this the guy that averaged 30 points over week 4 and 5, an outlier? And is his immense... Sorry, Jay.
I put that in there for you. Let's just say upside.
It's immense,
for the listeners, I put
immense.
Penis in there. I thought Dave would just read it.
Is upside. Is it enough for another team to take a chance? Take a chance on him.
Take a chance on ABBA. Me.
Yeah. Penis.
Yeah. I'll jump in on Justin Fields.
Oh, you would.
I mean, for this season, it's really. I just love a quarterback with immense upside. I mean, for this, we'll see how long he's out for. I was looking at one of the Edwin Portis, I think his name is. He's one of the fantasy medical kind of Twitter follows. I hope that's his actual name. He's a good follow. He was saying something with an injury, like this type of injury, if it ends up being a pain management thing, it could be a couple weeks. If it requires surgery, it's probably 4 to 6 weeks. So I guess we'll wait and see, you know, how that looks. It's really bad timing for Justin Fields right now, though, because I think – at this point, the Bears are probably drafting another quarterback. They have the Panthers pick. So even if Chicago did improve, they still have that Carolina pick. So them picking 1 and 2, 1 and 3, 1 and 4, you know, something in that vein, it seems almost inevitable at this point. So Fields isn't going to be in Chicago next year, even if he had played pretty well. And he wasn't really doing so. He was kind of back and forth. Last week, before getting injured, he looked terrible. And he was definitely hanging on the ball a bit long. It wasn't all his fault. The offensive line was just atrocious. I watched quite a bit of that game because I was really hoping to kind of to see if the Fields DJ Moore thing was going to stick, if that was going to, you know, how that would play out. And it looked tough. He was just getting beaten up pretty badly. But for the rest of the season, does he come back? And he will come back. He'll play at some point. I don't know how many games he gets. But that'll kind of be his chance to, you know, to show what he has for other teams. You know, do I think he gets another opportunity next season with another team? Yes, I think so. It might take a bit of time, probably not Geno Smith time, but, you know, could it be Baker Mayfield time? Maybe. I think he's better than that, though. I think he'll end up starting somewhere next year. If it's not Chicago, and it probably won't be, I think he'll still start somewhere. But if you have him in dynasty, that's a tough, you know, that's
he's in Minnesota.
Tough to hold.
Yep. Next year he's in Minnesota. Mark my words.
That's not impossible.
Oh, poor Justin Jefferson.
Yes. Sir.
I don't know what quarterback he is. I really don't. I've had hot takes on him, and I don't mean hot takes where I've thought the opposite, but more like I've been hot on him or sweet on him, as Dave's generation would say. Thought about asking him to the dance, but now I almost traded. I was mulling over Lamar Jackson for him not that long ago, and that seems like years ago at this point now. But it was just in the offseason I was mulling over Lamar Jackson for him, and I wouldn't do that today. I'm just You're my concern for him, and I think he's out of the QB1 conversation if he's injured for more than a game. I think that's pretty simple just from a numbers standpoint. But he could come in and have, you know, 100 points over two games. You never know. He has that in him. But how often does he have it in him? Is it a couple times a year? I don't know. Is he going to get the Trey Lance treatment? That's my biggest concern. Is he going to go somewhere with a starting quarterback and kind of sit on the bench? And I don't know. There's been a lot of kind of weird reports out where the team is kind of excited for Tyson Bagent to come in. Like, I don't know how well-liked he is in the locker room either. I don't know if that's just piling on and shitting on a player who's kind of down, or if it's if there's some real smoke to or truth to that smoke. But
that's easy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's I'm just concerned for him that he ends up kind of getting the Trey Lance treatment where he's sitting on a bench somewhere. But I think the more likely scenario is what Ty said, where he ends up with a potential starting role next year, at least the ability to compete for one.
All right.
What'd Chicago get for him, though? I don't think they're getting much if they're trading him. Fourth?
No, they really, like, if they were going to get anything for him, like, it kind of had to be, when he was still healthy coming off those big weeks, they probably should have looked and, like, maybe they did, but, like, you know, see what they could have gotten for him then. Just trade, give up on the season, really, you know, lean into that 1-2 pick next year.
Yeah, that's what gave him something, I'm sure.
I mean, Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr., that's a pretty good way to rebuild your offense. Pretty exciting for the people in Chicago if that had happened.
I have a quote here. I have a quote. I'm not going to sound like him because I don't know how he sounds. But if Mac Jones was in San Francisco, he'd be playing like Brock Purdy. If you didn't get that impression, that was Rex Laser Teeth Ryan. Said that about, he said that. And I don't think he would. That being said, Purdy is a league average backup on a perfect team. They did lose to a very impotent Cleveland Browns team
offense,
last week.
Defense is very potent.
Yes. Yes, that is true. It's just the Nick Chubbless, no Nick Chubb, third string quarterback playing there right now. Yeezus. So, Brock Purdy, he's QB 10 right now. Is that maintainable? Purdy in the top 10? That's a little Purdy.
Now, I think he's better. But I think a lot of people give him way too much praise or shit on him entirely. RG3 was really pumping his tires pretty heavy recently. But I think he's better than the spot he was drafted in, which is Mr. Irrelevant. But I think he's also a product of where he was drafted. He's a borderline QB1 as long as his weapons are healthy-ish. Like, C-Mac's gone. Him and C-Mac have never lost together. That is true. Because C-Mac left the game. But as long as his weapons are healthy, he's a pretty safe, I think, back end QB1.
Wow. All right. Ty, do you agree? No.
Yeah, pretty much do. I think for Rex Ryan to compare Mac Jones to Brock Purdy, like, I think Rex he's really putting his foot in his mouth, which I know he likes. He's all about that.
That's so fucked up. Have you seen his teeth? He's got veneers, eh?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, what color would you like him? Well, what's the whitest white that exists? But, sir, that won't look natural. I don't care.
What color would you like? I would like families in the Hamptons. But
cool.
I'll leave it there. I like my Rex Ryan foot joke. He had a foot fetish. Yeah, I was wondering. Check it out. It's great.
Leave it there. Yeah. Go on a high note.
I don't want to yuck his yums, but yuck.
Yes. Now, Sam Howell has all his teeth. He goes to the dentist quite often. He's QB12 currently. A little bit of a surprise. Like Jay had mentioned earlier, with that Bills game aside, he's looked pretty good for fantasy. He's averaged 17.7. And if you remove the Bills game, it jumps up to 20.36. So unless you are a Dotson owner, which I am not, you got to be pretty content with Sam Howell the first. I would think. Maybe you're
I'll
not.
I'll let Ty go for on this one.
Yeah.
You know I've been the Sam Howell booster for about a year now. So
you have. Yeah. You're on the payroll there.
Yeah. I mean, I like Jahan Dotson coming into this year, so I'm a little mad at Sam Howell.
You should be.
Do I think he's an excellent quarterback that's guaranteed to be a starting quarterback for a number of years? No. For fantasy, do I think he could potentially stay in the top 12 for this year? Sure. You know, why not? I mean, if you look who's ahead of him, like Russell Wilson's ahead of him, but do I think he could, you know, finish ahead of Russell Wilson in a 4-point or even a 6-point passing?
Russell yeah. Wilson would think that's neat too. He'd be like, neato.
Yeah, neato. Wowzers. some players behind him I do like better. Stroud, Trevor Lawrence. I think, you know, even Matt Stafford, I think there was a, you know, it's pretty low fantasy production for what were actually pretty good games. So we'll see. But he's probably about in that range to finish the year. And even in, I mean, like we all play in several super flex leagues or even 2QB leagues. And even in those leagues, Sam Howell's not that expensive even now. So I don't think his value is crazy. So if you're picking him up somewhere, I don't think you're going to end up being, you know, that disappointed in whether it be redraft or dynasty.
Seems reasonable.
That was more positive than I thought it would be. So I will still pump his tires just a little bit. 11 touchdowns this season. That plays. He's got 6 INTs. That hurts. But if you remove the Bills game, 4 INTs, he only has 2 on the season. He seems to have learned from that. And he's still technically a rookie, and he's got great tools around him. Like Dotson, we talk about Dotson being, you know, what he was last year. If he can get a semblance of that, that's a boon for touchdowns for everybody. Samuel's not a bad wide receiver 3 to have on a team. Antonio Gibson's a good receiving back. Brian Robinson can run. And Terry McLaurin's fucking great. So, you know, he doesn't have the Brock Purdy level of tools, but he's got the we have the San Francisco 49ers offense at home kind of level of tools. I think he has more tools than Josh Allen even does. McLaurin is not Diggs. There's no fucking way in the world McLaurin's Diggs. But outside of Diggs, there's not much for Josh to really throw to. Kincaid's still a rookie. So I do really like the tools around him. Riverboat Ron to me is a big kind of gamble. I'm not a huge Ron Rivera fan. But I think if you remove that Bills game as hopefully an outlier, you have a very good rookie on your hands who's actually outperformed C.J. Stroud, who gets, you know, who got a little bit of smoke in the offseason. People were drafting him as high as they probably should have, but he's still technically ahead of C.J. Stroud, which is, like, that fucking plays. Like, that's incredible.
Slightly ahead in fantasy.
Yeah.
I will give you that. But C.J. Stroud.
One spot.
I think he's at, they both have 9 touchdowns on the year, 6 INTs for Howell, 1 for Stroud. Mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud's got about 100 more passing yards, and Howell's got about 100 rushing yards, and Stroud probably doesn't have any. So
yep.
It's very similar numbers. But if you're looking through the rest of the season, it's yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. It's tough to say, but like, I mean, Stroud's, he looks like the better quarterback.
I don't think Stroud's not the better quarterback. Sure. I just think Sam Howell is getting very little fanfare for a very quietly good season. And he can run the ball RG3. A little bit.
he can.
Yeah, it does help.
Now, CJ
under rushing yards, yeah.
CJ Stroud is coming in at QB 13 with all the hype around Stroud. I am a little shocked that he ranks 1 behind Howell. Not going to lie to you. His production has dipped quite a bit after those banger weeks from 2 to 4, unfortunately. Not terrible, but he had some good weeks in there in comparison. But I think we can all agree he is an excellent real-world quarterback, not this fantasy world that we live in. But will he break into the QB1 conversation again this season? And if so, who drops?
Whoa. Yes, and Sam Howell.
I was going to say, Ty already answered this. I was looking at Ty in the Skype like, I know what you're going to say. Yeah. I think he's better than Sam Howell, and I think he finishes the season as a QB1. He's an excellent real-world quarterback. His rushing leaves a little bit to be desired. He's not going to score many touchdowns on the ground,
which in most leagues
definitely really pays the quarterback for that. But
mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to somebody I love. That's just a funny coincidence. Jordan Love. He's
Should
coming
you
at
want to
QB
say that out
of
loud
4
on a recorded podcast that'll be on the internet forever.
I know. I had immediate regret. He's the tale of two quarterbacks. Week 1 and 2, Love versus week 3 to 5, Love. Look completely like different players. Or do they? Any hope for Love to rediscover himself? I hear he's currently doing the Wisconsin version of Eat, Pray, Love, which I'm pretty sure has him going hunting, getting drunk, and just jerk it off into some cheese curds.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sounds nice.
And then
it's also outside the hunting, it sounds delightful.
I can say I thought the Wisconsin eat, pray, love would just be eat.
Having been, they are quite religious. Time. No, I'm just, they might pray too.
They are.
They like their cheese.
Just the cheese state.
And if they're love, sweaty.
Sweaty balls. So yeah, Jordan Love, QB 14. I'm really hoping because he's my guy.
Oh, he's my Dave, guy. I got some bad news for you, buddy. Jordan Love fucking sucks. And
he's in redraft. So
at the start of the season, I thought Jordan Love fucking sucks. And then the first couple games, I was like, he's better than I thought he was. And now I'm going, well, Jordan Love fucking sucks. He is a chucker. He's averaging just over 50% completion. Just like,
that's a problem.
It is a problem. I mean, Brett Favre made a career of it, but at least he threw the ball into the end zone on a regular basis, not just in a couple games of the year. The last three games, he's had 6 interceptions to 2 touchdowns. That's not good. That doesn't win games.
No.
And the first 3 games, 4 games, he had all of his touchdowns on the season. So he's not trending well, put it that way. So he's really got to find himself. The offense in Green Bay looks confused most of the time. Jordan Love holds onto the ball way too long, and he doesn't make good decisions when he's thrown it. He has the physical tools to be a pretty good quarterback. He can run a little bit. He's got a pretty decent arm, but I don't think he has what it takes upstairs to kind of decode defenses and really put the ball in high percentage areas where the receiver can catch it regularly.
So, Ty, should I be concerned that I have Love, Dobbs, and Watson on my redraft team? Is that a problem?
Oh, that's not ideal.
No, I am not winning this year.
Feel best to say the least. Might feel best about starting Josh Dobbs next week. Deshaun Watson, he might play next week. It depends. If they have a tough opponent,
yeah, no,
he might
should
sit out again.
Yeah, no, he should.
Apparently
be
he was medically cleared a couple weeks ago, and then they just kind of like, it's like, can we play this week? The 49ers like, it's aggravated, you know, something that's bad again.
Yeah, we'll sit this one out. This one, yeah.
But for Jordan Love, I think the one thing that's unfair is, you know, a lot of people don't take into account the fact that, I mean, he's not that good. So I think he's doing okay for what his ability allows, but he's not that good of a quarterback. And that's
so. Okay. Where do you picture? Where do you put him? QB rank end of season?
Yeah, currently at 14.
I think when you look below, like, you know, I don't think he's passing too many people ahead of him, other than, you know, injured guys like Justin Fields. Behind him, I think Trevor Lawrence finishes ahead of him. Stafford. Ritter probably not. Sam Howell's ahead of him. I think he stays ahead of him.
I think so.
Joe Burrow. Yeah. Joe Burrow's way down there. He's going to climb up.
Oh, yeah. So he's coming on strong. He'll be fine.
If I was projecting, I don't know, maybe a QB 15. It's not going to be that low because he throws a lot. QB 16. Yeah.
All right.
But real life, he's just not a great quarterback.
Yeah, and eventually that will catch up to you in the fantasy world.
QB 18.
Yeah. Okay. No, I like that, Jay. I'm with Jay on that one. Thanks. Thank you both for joining us today. I'm talking about not you two, but our two listeners.
Hi, Mike and Marvin. Thank you.
Hope you're not from Wisconsin.
We do have a few listeners in Wisconsin, actually.
Oh, sorry, guys.
I love the cheese state.
Lovely state.
Lovely state. But yeah. Good luck in your fantasy teams this week. Hopefully nobody gets injured, and hopefully people don't need surgery. You know who I'm talking about.
Capital of Wisconsin is Madison.
No, my aunt. What?
Take that.
Bizzies.
Good night.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.